It is with great pleasure I would like to introduce you to my next guest on Go Do You in association with iWish, the CEO of Deloitte Ireland, Mr. Harry Goddard. For those of you who may not be aware of who or what Deloitte are and what they do, then let me give you a brief introduction. Deloitte is a multinational professional services network. It is actually the largest professional service network by revenue and number of professionals in the world, and is indeed one of the big four we so often hear of. Deloitte provides audit, consulting, tax, financial advisory, and legal services with approximately 457,000 professionals globally and operates in over 150 countries. You are very welcome, Harry, on Go Do You in association with iWish. And thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
Delighted to be here this morning, Amy. Really looking forward to the conversation.
Thanks, Harry. So I read that you studied applied maths in college when you started out. If you were beginning that journey again through college, what do you think you would study and why?
I think I would go back and study maths again. I've got three daughters, Amy, two of whom are in college at the moment. One is studying maths and economics, and one is studying classics and the history of fine art and architecture, both of which are subjects I adore.
Yeah.
So I sort of fanboy a little bit.
What are you learning today?
What are we doing today, exactly?
Can I do your homework with you?
Definitely not. So I enjoyed the discussions, but I have to say quite high level, I find.
Yes.
But it was interesting. I was at the launch of iWish this morning, sponsored by the IDA, and was sort of reflecting on how far things have come. And when I was studying maths in secondary school in Ennis, County Clare, I did honours maths. But I remember in my final year, there used to be this procession, which when I think about it today, was a sort of procession of shame, okay. Must have been, whereby the girls from the Colossian Weir who didn't have access to honours maths, three of them would make the way to Flannan's. And so we're sitting on our maths, there'll be a knock on the door, and there will be three girls standing there, or four girls standing there, who then would have to come into this room full of boys and find a seat for themselves and then take part in the maths class.
What?
When I think about it today, it was of medieval ages. It was awful for the girls. It was actually awful for the boys. Flannan's was coming out of being a boarding school at the time, so there were still boarders there. So just the social dynamic, the discomfort, the distraction. I mean, talk about creating the environments not to be successful in learning and education.
I literally have my jaw dropped because I'm in shock. Oh my God.
It's extraordinary. And to see, you know, and I look at you know, my own girls easily able to get access to be able to do honours maths and a whole range of other business subjects, going on to college to be able to do maths and subjects like that. I just think it's so hugely important. I think it's brilliant that we've come so far, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And one of the very practical things I see is the way in which maths is taught still tends towards a learning style that suits boys, doesn't suit girls to the same extent. So I think still a lot of work for us to do. I think within the education system, that's why I think iWish is so important. Having these conversations today, I think, is so important so that we continue to challenge ourselves on how we're enabling everybody to get access to some of these subjects and include them as part of their own personal development as they think about their future and their careers.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. A lot of what I try to do on Go Do You, Harry, is talk to my guests about the challenges or obstacles they have come across along the way. And that's in the hopes, really, to inspire people when they do inevitably come across challenges or obstacles not to give up on their journey. Was there any hurdles or obstacles that you have come across in your own journey that you might be happy to share in the hopes to inspire others not to give up when they do arise?
I think, and it took me a while to sort of recognize this, but comfort and growth don't sit neatly side by side. So, you know, for those of us, and I think most people, and particularly I think people listening to your podcast, Amy, they're thinking about how they can grow and develop as personally and professionally. But if you feel comfortable all the time, you probably aren't doing something that's going to allow you to grow. And it's when you're growing, that's probably when you feel really uncomfortable. So therefore, I say, if you're feeling comfortable, you probably aren't doing it right.
Yes. And it's so true. Yeah, they don't sit nicely together, comfort and growth. I love that.
So finding those opportunities where you do feel challenged, I think is really important. And getting the balance right between things that you're really good at, that you feel comfortable with things that you find really quite challenging. Mm. that's what really helps us to grow and to develop as people. And I've had many challenges. I mean, within the business, you know, the business has been impacted obviously by the pandemic. It's been impacted by Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine. It's been impacted by the supply chain crisis, the effect of the global economy. It's been impacted by the cost of living crisis that we have today in Ireland. Yeah. And then from a personal point of view, I've made mistakes. I've had setbacks. I've made poor choices. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me yesterday, did I ever think I had any regrets? I've loads of them.
Yeah. Loads. We'd be doing something wrong anyway if we didn't.
If we didn't. Yeah. And I think what makes the difference is two things. I think, first of all, to recognize as you go through those challenges that that's what enables growth.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. And secondly, having the people around you who will support you in helping find your way through.
Yeah.
That's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
And if I look back on experiences which might have been challenging, but ultimately were positive, it's often been because I had the support network around me to help me find my way through.
I love that. And to just believe in yourself as well and have that self-belief.
Have that self-confidence, self-belief, and have people around you who have that same confidence in you that you need to have in yourself sometimes.
Yes.
And to remind you of that fact that actually you're going to find your way through this.
Yeah, I love that. And sometimes they have even more confidence in you than
you have yourself.
Ari, I really enjoyed reading about your sabbatical during the summer. In recent years, the number of employers offering sabbaticals has grown exponentially. What do you think the advantages and disadvantages of these sabbaticals are for employees and, I suppose, companies as a whole?
A couple of things. You know, some of the advantage I probably anticipated, others I didn't.
Mm.
I came back from my sabbatical, and without precisely revealing my age, I will share.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will share that I had my 30-year college reunion a couple of weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
And what it really made me reflect on the fact is that as a graduate, you sort of step out into the primordial stew of the working world. And actually, it's quite benign looking when you step into it as a graduate. But over a period of some 30-odd years, you step out of it for your sabbatical and you look into it. And actually, it's really hot and doesn't look very comfortable in there. So you really get the sense of perspective as to what are you doing today? Because everything has happened gradually and incrementally. Mm. And a sabbatical gives you the opportunity to step right out of yourself and right out of your context and to look back into it much more objectively. So that objective perspective is invaluable. And I can't think of another way in which you can really create that from a working point of view. The other two advantages, which I hadn't necessarily anticipated, is that somebody stepped into my role on an interim basis while I was out.
And that's when
But when I got back, they said to me, I now know what you do.
Yes.
I understand some of the things that you said to me before and why that's important. And it allowed me to really change how I think about my work and how that person changed, where it was able to change how they thought about their role. So that was very impactful. And then thirdly, the team that is around me in the business, they all really leaned in to ensure that actually, while he's away, we're not going to go near him. That sort of them taking on that responsibility really has brought that team together, but also allowed them all individually, I think, and collectively to step up and take much greater responsibility within their role.
Yes.
So multiple benefits, I think, back into the organization. And of course, to myself personally, huge benefits in terms of my own energy, my motivation, my outlook has been really positive.
Oh, I love that. There's no other way you can really get that perspective. Like if you go on holidays for a week or two, it's not long enough. Sure, it's not.
It's not. And you have to make big choices. So, I mean, I can tell you, I am a devil when I'm away on holidays. I'm always checking in and out of email.
Yeah.
Whereas when I went on my sabbatical, I deleted email from my phone. So I had no way of kind of keeping up to date with what's happening on a regular basis. Those sort of small things make a massive difference.
Yes. Oh, my God. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Harry, was so the New York Stock Exchange declared 2024 as the year of artificial intelligence. What steps do we need to take to ensure that AI is developed responsibly, I suppose?
If I think about, you know, if you look back over history and the development of culture, generally speaking, women have always had an extraordinary role to play in how we raise our children, how we do things around here, the expectations that we set, the norms in any community are often set, you know, and have often been set by often the females, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
If I look at AI, technology is going to be a much more significant part of our culture.
Mm.
It's going to be a much more significant part of how we make choices and how our preferences are determined.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that we have a real balance in terms of who is developing those solutions.
Yeah.
That we have females in the control room helping to shape the thinking, the values, the sort of society that we will create, where technology is much more significant component of that society relative to where we are today. So responsible AI for me is not just about the governance and about the policy, but also about the individuals and the thinking and the way of thinking that influences the development of the algorithms and the technology that sits behind generative AI.
Absolutely. And I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're dead right. Ireland has emerged as a prominent talent hub in Europe, particularly in the technology and innovation sectors, with Dublin often being referred to as Silicon Docks. Is this still the case? Are companies still very enthusiastic to do business in Ireland and avail of our talent-based economy?
Absolutely. I mean, my practical experience in talking to the big technology companies in the US, whether it's the significant household names on the West Coast or tech businesses across North America, all see Ireland as a hub into the rest of the world. Wow. And the principal reason isn't just our location and that we're English speaking, but it comes down to talent. And, you know, if I look at our population, our talent population, listening to the minister this morning, we had 39,000 applications for people to come to work in Ireland from outside of Ireland. 31,000 were approved. It just shows the extent to which we have demand for talent in Ireland. And in my mind, what that really is the business case to ensure that we encourage everybody in our society to participate in contributing towards our talent economy, particularly in technology.
Yes.
The technology sector is going to continue to grow and evolve. It's one of the most dynamic and innovative sectors that we have in our economy and globally for the last 20 years. That all comes down to individuals making choices to participate and thinking about the role that they would like to play as part of that sector.
It's so exciting, isn't it? It's like, what's the world going to be in 5 years, 10 years? What's going to be happening? Whose career inspires you, Harry, and why?
Often when people ask me that, and particularly I think coming from a business, you know, a business world, they're expecting me to name a titan of business of some form or another. But my practical experience is that I find inspiration in people in all sorts of walks of life. And I think it comes down to a key set of characteristics.
Okay.
I think the people that really inspire me are people who have found that way to really find meaning in what they do.
Okay.
They are clear why they do it. They're clear in their purpose. And they get real happiness and joy from that experience. And sometimes they make money from it.
Yes, yeah.
Not always. Yeah. And you meet people like that in all sorts of walks of life, whether it's musicians, artists, in business, in the charity sector, in politics. Mm. But people who are doing something because it has great meaning for them, they are the people that really inspire me. They're able to put everything else to one side and focus on their personal mission and their personal passion. And if I was to name practical examples of that, I think Caroline and Gillian,
yes,
who are really sponsoring our program today, they're people who have made choices about where they want to spend their time and do something that they're both personally really passionate about, but also will make a massive impact on our society. To me, that's really inspirational. Mary Robinson is going to come and speak here later today. To see her stand up to
how
I think in particular to see at the last COP, how she stood up against everything that is the opposite of what she stands for in such a public way is truly inspirational.
Yes.
And to see people like that from a small rock on the west coast of Europe.
Yes.
Do things that are so transformational, so distinctive and so impactful. I just think it's hugely inspirational. And one of the things I wish for.
Yes, you wish.
As part of this series of podcasts and part of today is that more and more girls see that as an opportunity for them and see themselves in those roles. Not that they are roles for other people, but that they are roles for them.
I love that. And you can't explain the energy of today's show. You can't. It's just magic.
It's magical. It's infectious. I mean, yes, you can just feel it in the air. It's something in the zeitgeist.
Yes, I love it. We've gotten goosebumps now thinking about it. I know that Deloitte is really focused on greater gender balance. What are the diversity and inclusion initiatives that Deloitte has made big difference with? You know, is there any particular ones that stand out to you that have been really powerful?
The big ones for me that have made an impact, a couple of things. First of all, reporting on our actual performance. So how are we doing? And not just on our performance in terms of the numbers of men and women, but gender pay gap reporting to me has been a really transformational initiative that we've been able to use internally within our organization to really shine a spotlight on embedded behaviors that perhaps we're unconscious, but we're manifesting within our system. That for me has been very significant. The second thing is normalizing leave for men in the same way that perhaps we always assume that the female will be the parent, but actually ensuring that men have got the same access to parental leave as women do and encourage them to participate. So it's not just about men and women at work, it's men and women in the home as well, which I think is hugely important. They're the two that I would call out. And I think the third thing is just holding ourselves to account and keeping the conversation alive.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things I observe happens is people sort of say, well, we're going to talk about inclusion. And everybody sort of puts their inclusion hat on and they all act and behave and think and feel because we know we're having that conversation. Then they take the inclusion hat off and go back to work and they forget.
The next thing.
So I think finding a way, and, you know, we've had an initiative internally where we've brought together groups of people. They sit in a circle. It's a bit like the AA.
Okay, love it.
And we bring in very small case studies which shine a spotlight on the lived experience of females in the workplace.
Yeah.
And these are our groups of senior leaders in our practice. But very normal experience that people, the females often experience of exclusion and bias.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I had said to any one person, could you imagine this happened? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But these are case studies within our business. They have really, really helped drive the discussion and really challenge people's own thinking about their own personal behaviors. Because I think, you know, I think it was Caroline said today, this isn't something that we've got to wait for other people to do something about.
Yes.
This is something that we all have to take a personal responsibility and I really see and do our part and both for the men and for the women, all of whom have got to be allies and advocates.
Yes.
It's not just thinking it, it's not just feeling it, but it's actually doing something. That's what makes a difference.
I love that. So we are here at I Wish Conference today to encourage teenage girls to pursue STEM careers. In your view, what is the one big, bold move we should consider to ensure greater participation of girls in STEM?
The bold move for me would be to look at how we teach STEM. We teach maths in particular at Leaving Cert level. It is incredibly challenging, I think, particularly for girls to really participate in it in a practical sense. And the second thing is, from a university perspective, the way in which maths is taught is completely different to the Leaving Cert maths.
Okay.
And is done in a way that's...
more practical, is it?
Make it much more practical. Make it move away from a lot of the theory, make it much more practical, make it much more engaging, make it much more work group based. Make it much more collaborative. I think these are the sorts of things that will really encourage much greater participation by females, and I think will make a real difference to our future.
Yes, because even me, I can remember being in school and I definitely would have preferred if there was a more practical aspect of it, because you'd kind of get interested in it then in a much greater sense. Yeah, because...
Make it real for people.
Yes.
Take it away from the theory.
Yes.
And show the things that we can do with maths. I mean, everything that we see here today has a foundation in mathematics, but the connection between that foundation in mathematics and what we're seeing is not...
In the classroom, yeah.
It's just not evident.
Yes. Thank you so much to Harry Goddard and to Deloitte, our platinum partner here at I Wish, who have supported I Wish now for many years. They also sponsor an army of volunteers today, bringing students around our fantastic exhibition, as well as working with I Wish on the I Wish Deloitte Mentorship Programme, 180 Days to Make a Difference. This mentorship programme for I Wish alumni supports them as they navigate their way through college on their STEM journeys. Thank you so much, Harry. It has been my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Amy. Really enjoyed the chat this morning.
Thank you.